Hey, comedy fans, welcome to episode number 200 of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me today in the studio, it is Natalie Cuomo. This episode and every episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson, the only place you'll be able to see Natalie Cuomo this weekend for four more shows. Your tickets are available now at carlsoncomedy.com. Now, let's kick it over to the studio and have a chat with Natalie. Good morning, Carlson casters. Welcome to episode 200. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Natalie doesn't even know that's a thing. Like, you just showed up, and I'm like, oh, by the way, this is episode 200. It's a milestone.
That's amazing. I saw it when it flashed on the street. I was like, that's pretty cool.
It kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
I completely forgot this was going to be episode 200. So no pomp and circumstance, just great comedy and great conversation with one of my favorite comics who comes through. It's Natalie Cuomo, everybody. Good morning, Natalie.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting. 200 is a big deal.
Well, most podcasts only last like 11 episodes, according to statistics. So, you know, 200, you know, not going to say it's the most consistent or the greatest podcast that's ever existed, but it's the greatest podcast that ever existed. And it went 200 episodes.
So. Exactly.
Thanks for finding it, everybody.
Yes.
Feel free to join us in the chat. It is open. For those of you who are watching us live on Friday, don't forget you could always watch the show live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitter as well if you're just listening to this show. Natalie is back with us. You were here about a year ago.
I was here a year ago.
And it's been a big year for you. A lot of things have happened.
Yes. Yes, it has been.
So where do we start? How many tattoos have you gotten since the last time you've been here?
I honestly have gotten a lot. I don't even know how. I mean, I've lost track. Maybe 10.
Okay.
Maybe 10. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 new tattoos.
So how many are we up to total at this point?
So, okay. I always struggle with counting my tattoos because I don't know what counts as one tattoo.
Okay.
Like, I'll take my hand, for example, or a finger. How many are on my finger? Is the whole finger one tattoo? Is it a bunch of tattoos on one finger?
This is an interesting school of thought. I'm going to lean into a tattoo counts every time ink is applied.
Really?
Unless it's like not finished. Like unless you have a project. Like if somebody's doing a sleeve and you go in and they do it in multiple settings, that's not three tattoos. It's one tattoo till it's finished. But say you had like a little thing on your finger and then you added another thing. That would be two.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I probably have like 80 tattoos.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good number.
It's due to my addictive personality and my competitive nature. Mm. I'm like, I must be the most tattooed person in the room at all times.
I'll show you competitive nature. You got 80 tattoos. Well, I have 200 episodes of the Carlson Cast.
Yes, that is pretty good.
Let's go, Natalie. You got to start picking, like being a little more choosy when you get to 80, right?
I feel like you get less choosy. My last tattoo.
Okay.
I actually let my fiance pick without me seeing it until it was done.
That's cute. That's cute. But you probably trust your fiance. You didn't think he was doing anything horrible.
I trust him.
Okay.
It was fun. It was something I've been wanting to do for a while. I kept pitching it to different people. I was like, I want you to pick the tattoo and I want to get it. And I don't want to see it until it's finished.
So when you tell him this, do you give him books to look at? Does he go work with the tattoo artist and say, I want her to have this? Or does he just flip and go, oh, I like the tiger head?
He picks it off the wall. And the tattoo artist is actually this one guy. His name is Zach Bryce. And he is one of the most creative people that I know. Mm-hmm. He made it kind of like match my other leg. And it actually wound up being very, very cool.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It was a very good experience.
Okay. First comment in the chat today came in from my boy Manny Muscat. Hey, Manny. Vinny, who would have been your dream guest for episode 200? How dare you, Manny?
What the fuck?
It's Natalie. What are you, crazy? What are you trying to do to me, Manny? Get out of here.
Manny Muscat.
He's a problem, that guy.
I'm the dream guest, Manny.
I want you for 201, 202, 203.
Thank you.
You want to just host the show from now on? I could use a break, probably.
We can co-host.
Okay. So I heard you say something about tattoos. Back to this real quick, because I wanted to ask you this. You said the best tattoos are meant to be silly. I heard you say this.
Yeah.
You believe that they are meant to be silly and not like these meaningful
yeah,
things that people make them.
Yeah, yeah. I think when they're meaningful, it's too much pressure. I think that a tattoo is like a happy thing.
Okay.
Like you look at it, it makes you laugh, it makes you smile, maybe it gives you more confidence. Uh-huh. Tattoos have always given me more confidence, and I think my favorite tattoos are the ones that make me laugh.
Okay. So like when people memorialize their dead baby on your arm, like that's not so much fun and nice.
I mean, I think it can be really special, but sure. It's weird when you have a tattoo where like if someone asks about it, it creates an awkward moment.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
That's a good rule of thumb. Okay. Now you're at 80, and I'm sorry to just ask you about tattoos, but I am fascinated by this. I've recently become friends with a really great tattoo artist. The guy's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And this stuff really fascinates me now.
Yeah.
So
do you have any?
I have one.
What is it?
It's on my
ankle. Imagine you're like, it's my mom. No.
It's my dad.
Oh.
But it's not of my dad. It's just initials. It's okay. Initials. And there was a lucky number thing that we had. So I got the lucky number with his initials underneath it.
That's really nice.
So, okay. It's very simple.
I predicted it.
You did. You did. It makes me feel kind of basic and lame.
No, I think it's really nice. I think I would get memorial tattoos for people in my life.
Uh-huh.
I think it is nice. I think okay. It is nice.
Well, do you regret any of them?
You happy with the one that you have for your dad?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't thought about it since I got it. It's just there. Yeah. And
I think it helps with the healing process.
I did. It did. I got it maybe not a couple years after he passed away.
Yeah. And
yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
But I thought about getting other things, but I don't know if I can handle the concept of going silly. But every part of me wants to go silly.
Oh, I just feel like, you know, you have to accept. Getting a tattoo is kind of accepting like the non-permanence of things.
Okay. That's interesting. But some people would say that getting a tattoo is a permanent thing.
It's a permanent thing because you're like, this is my only body, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, it's just like, who cares?
Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? I'm kind of with it. I get you.
It's like, just have fun.
What's the funniest tattoo you've ever seen? Have you ever seen one and you went, oh, how did I miss this? I wish I had gotten that.
Oh, man. The funniest one I've ever seen. That I don't have? I don't know.
All right. What's the funniest one that you do have?
The funniest one I have a wolf wearing pajamas that's like sneaking away. I like that one a lot. That's okay. My favorite one.
Now, did you just see that in a book and say, I want that?
It's one of my like friend's art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that I have a lot to think about in terms of tattoos. I probably will get another one at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe after this conversation, I'm leaning more towards silly. You may have turned me around a little bit.
Like on the one hand, you do want something that'll help you heal and memorialize something. But on the other hand, it's also fun to just like, oh, when I look at this, I smile. That adds to my day.
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I already went sad route.
Yeah.
I already went the sad route. Now we got to balance it out.
Exactly.
Get a little yin and yang going.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Natalie, you have a podcast called Help. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I do. I have a podcast. It is on the 131st episode. So,
Come on. Don't come in here and throw those numbers at me.
I know.
130 episodes. Pretty good.
Honestly, 200 is crazy because that you put your heart and soul into a podcast. So it really is.
All right.
Never mind. We're silly. But it is. I asked comics the best advice they ever received. And then we pulled tarot cards.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now you read the tarot. You know how to read tarot cards?
You'd think I would after this many episodes, but I'm like learning.
Are you just BSing people like their fortunes?
It is funny because some people do get freaked out. I wonder how many comics have walked away for like a month, like the death card.
That funny witch jinxed me. Well, hold on a second. Don't most people like it's all subjective anyway, like what the card means. Like everybody who reads tarot cards, whether or not they know what they're doing or not, kind of has their own spin on it.
Right.
Okay.
It is subjective and it's not supposed to like give you bad news. It's supposed to be like something like you need to hear that day or like give you advice almost.
Yeah. Like you don't flip a card and it's like, oh, your sister Rose is dead.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
She's like, she is dying. No, I'm kidding.
You might want to call your sister Rose.
Yeah.
This is the call Rose card. So you talk to comics about the best advice I've given. And in a way, that's kind of what I like to do too, because comics do this thing. Like when you first get into the business where they want to like bombard everybody that's been doing it for a long time with every thought that they have about comedy to see if they're right or whatever. Yeah. It's weird. There's like a lot of people who want information.
Yeah.
So breaking it down to this is the best advice that I've gotten really does help people cut to the quick with it.
It does. It does.
Now, what has anybody given you any advice on this that you're like, oh my God, that's better than the advice that I haven't gotten before? I mean, what are some of the things that you think stick in your mind?
I think one of the most solid pieces would be like go where the love is. So if I could break that down in comedy terms, mm-hmm. it would be, I think a lot of the times people will be like, I really want to get into this club, or I really want these people to like me, but these people like me and I'm in this club. It's just like, go where the people are already accepting you instead of trying to please other people.
I think that is good advice, because like you take a place like New York, mm-hmm. there's a million different clubs.
Yeah.
Not every club is a good fit for every performer.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to find the place where you fit. And when you find the place where you fit, you do tend to grow there. And so that is pretty solid advice.
Yeah. I feel like it doesn't just apply to comedy. I feel like it applies to friendships, fan base. I mean, well, fan bases would be comedy too. But feel like so many people are so focused on like what they don't have. Mm-hmm. And it kind of pulls you back into appreciation for what you do have.
The best advice I ever got in life had nothing to do with comedy either. I was like 20 years old and just being really a shitty, complaining 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Someone said, you know, the best advice is don't expect anything from the world, but just be appreciative for everything that you get. And when you live your life in appreciation, it really does turn things around. I think about that a lot, though. Yeah. I've never forgotten that. Appreciation and feeling acceptance and just not thinking about what you don't have. Being happy with what you do have is one of the first steps towards contentment in anything.
Yeah.
Aren't we learning a lot today, everybody?
We are.
Episode 200.
Take that, Manny Muskets.
Yeah. 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 Who do you think I want as my guest here today? Bill Burr? What are you, nuts? Crazy? I'm teasing you, Natalie.
Bill Burr's my dad.
Can we call your dad real quick? Or
yeah, I'm sure he'd love that.
So Dan Lamort, your fiance.
Yes.
He's not with you this time around. Who's featuring for you this weekend?
We've got the amazing Adam Mueller.
Great.
Yes.
Now, he's from New York, right?
He's a New York comic. Good friend of mine.
Sweet.
Yep. He just recorded a dry bar special. And he's got one special out on YouTube that he recorded at West Side Comedy Club. And he just actually recorded another one at West Side Comedy Club. He honestly is one of the best joke writers I know. Like he worked in finance for a long time. Mm-hmm. He quit. He went to MIT. He quit. And then he just went full force into stand up.
You know, some of the funniest comedians and the best jokers I have are people who are just destined for some other type of job, like lawyers, doctors, engineers. When they get into comedy, not always engineers. Sometimes they're pretty boring.
Yeah.
But it's wild when people feel the calling and they just pull themselves out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It is funny because I will see like his note, like my notes are like a lot of handwritten pieces of paper. And like, it's kind of just like paper everywhere. It's a little bit all over the place. But he has like this printed pieces of paper, so organized. Like he is just a very organized. Everything's typed out, printed, folded. I don't know how he knows these folds. Like, he's good.
Yeah, that's a little too much. That's a little too intense.
I mean, honestly, I have this thing where, like, I will write my set list in my notebook, mm-hmm. but then I don't want to bring my notebook on stage. I don't even put it on the stool. I just want to have it in my back pocket. So right. I'm constantly writing in my notebook, ripping out the page, putting in my back pocket, and then I just have a bunch of every single set. I just have a bunch of pieces of paper of my notes everywhere. I mean, I need a folder. What I need is a folder or a Ziploc bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ziploc bags easier for the pocket.
Well, no, it's not for the pocket. It's just like to have everything. Oh, a shoebox.
Gotcha.
Janine Garofalo has a shoebox. I'm definitely more of a Janine Garofalo. Like she has a shoebox, a Ziploc bag. Like that's how she organizes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. We don't need to have like giant fancy notes, Adam. So let's talk about Dan. You guys have a wedding coming up. Did you guys set a date yet?
Yes, we're getting married in 3 months, July 14th.
July 14th.
Yeah.
Summer wedding.
Yes.
Very, very nice. Now, how's all that coming together? Are you feeling confident? Are you putting the whole wedding together? Are you doing all the arrangements and everything?
I am. The only thing that freaks me out is like other people being like, whoa, it's going to be stressful. It's like, I feel like I've got things in order. I feel good. I mean, people don't really RSVP till they have to.
Yeah.
So there's not really much else you can do after a certain point until people RSVP.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've done everything. Like I feel good about it. Yeah. I think because I've been so, I'm really like a do-it-yourself person in my career that like when I apply that to like planning a wedding, I'm like, I built my career. I can plan a fucking wedding.
That's a lot more challenging than a wedding. People think that it's like this giant, huge, like life-changing event, and it is life-changing. But the reality is, it's a dinner. It's a big dinner.
It's a party.
Everybody has some food. You have a party. You have to have a place where you walk down a thing. They do a yabba dabba do, and you go on with your life.
Yeah.
So I mean, good for you not being stressed out by it. I know a lot of people who really do get.
I definitely have like since like early on ordered a lot of stuff, but I do have a spreadsheet of like things. Feel pretty good about where I am.
Do you keep your spreadsheet in a Ziploc bag?
No, my spreadsheet is just the things I have that I'm going to bring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Natalie, I'm really excited for the shows tonight. You have two tonight, two tomorrow. Folks, grab your tickets. CarlsonComedy.com as always. I believe Andy Kuhn, he hasn't been to the club for a while, is going to be emceeing. I love Andy. He's a great guy. So all around, it's shaping up like it's going to be a nice little weekend over here, folks.
Yes, he opened for me and at one of the Funny Bones. I do not remember which one. They all kind of, the year sometimes blends together, but worked with him there. He's a great guy, super funny.
Now, before I let you get out of here, your last album, Shut Up, You Loved It, came out a while back. Are you working on something new? You got anything new dropping soon? What are you doing these days?
Oh, my God. I mean, I just feel like I've grown so much since I put that out. And it's like I feel like my style, my act is really different. But it's like, I mean, recording something is really a big feat. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe in a year or so or end of 2024, beginning of 2025, I'll work on putting out another something new.
All right. Well, folks, you could follow Natalie at Natalie Cuomo _ on Instagram and at Natalie Cuomo on TikTok and Twitter.
No relation, by the way.
To the infamous Cuomos?
Yes.
To the unfunny Cuomos?
I have to clarify this, especially when I'm in New York. Like I was in the Uber, like on the Uber here, as I'm getting out, I said like I was here for comedy. And then he was like, by the way, and I was like, no relation. I just feel like I need to.
That's a particularly heinous family to be associated with when it comes to comedy, because I remember Andy's, those press conferences, everybody was lauding him for during COVID. Everybody thought he was so funny and stuff. And like, his humor was he pulled out like a giant, what do you call it? Q-tip. This is what we're going to do for my brother's nose.
Yeah.
So unfunny and corny. I don't blame you for trying to disassociate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Natalie Cuomo, everybody, make sure you follow her. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the Carlson Cast. Until then, act right. We'll see you at 2:01. And we'll also see you at the show, Rochester. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.